ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden will meet Wednesday with Chinese leader Xi Jinping at an estate outside of San Francisco. He has said a priority is going to be reestablishing lines of military communication with China. He also said that trade will be a topic.
If the average citizen in China was able to have a decent paying job, that benefits them and it benefits all of us. But I'm not going to continue to sustain support for positions where if we want to invest in China, we have to turn over all our trade secrets.
The U.S. government says it has intelligence supporting Israel's claim that Hamas is running military operations out of hospitals in Gaza. Israeli forces raided the largest hospital in Gaza, where hundreds of patients, including newborns, have been stranded. The House passed a short-term funding bill to avert a government shutdown, and lawmakers in Texas passed a bill that would allow police to arrest migrants who enter the country illegally. Opponents are promising legal challenges. This is ABC News. There's a new timeline for how long that stretch of a major roadway in Southern California, Interstate 10, will be closed after a fire.
The news isn't great for drivers, but it's a lot better than it could have been. Engineers here in L.A. have determined, based on concrete and rebar samples, a burned section of I-10 can be repaired and won't have to be totally torn down. Tearing it down and rebuilding it could have been many months. Repairing it will be about a month. That means commuting issues for the next couple of weeks, L.A. Mayor Karen Bass.
When there is traffic, Angelenos get angry. We need to stay connected to each other and turn toward each other and not against each other.
The fire has been determined to have been arson. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
The Secretary of State's office in Kansas was evacuated Tuesday after it received a letter that the secretary, Scott Schwab, said contained a suspicious substance. This happened less than a week after threatening mail was sent to elections offices in at least five states. Brian Clark, ABC News.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The American Family Field Bill is on its way to Governor Evers, and he said he'll sign it. It spends more than $500 million of public money for upkeep to American Family Field. The amended bill passed the state Senate Tuesday morning and then the Assembly late in the afternoon. The amended bill asks more of the Brewers, less of state taxpayers, and adds a tax to non-Brewer events at the stadium. Expect slow going if you're traveling home for Thanksgiving. More than 1 million people in Wisconsin are expected to travel 50 miles or more for the holiday. AAA says that would be the third highest number for Wisconsin since 2019. By far, most will travel by car, but 113,000 plan to fly. A week from tomorrow is expected to be the busiest day at Wisconsin airports. Expect delays up to 80% longer than normal. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks beat the Bulls. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls 118-109. Packers quarterback Jordan Love was in attendance and witnessed a few milestones. Giannis, with 35 points, hit his 500th career three-pointer. Chris Middleton added 13 to become the Bucks' fifth all-time leading scorer, surpassing Michael Redd. Middleton after the game.
I mean, first, salute to Michael Redd. I mean, he's been a mentor of mine since I've came to Milwaukee, took over his number a little bit, but he's been a great person to reach out to from time to time to talk to.
Baseball reports say the Brewers are looking to promote bench coach Pat Murphy as their next manager. In Chicago, Craig Counsell introduced as the new manager of the Chicago Cubs. Counsell says he'd been thinking about leaving the Brewers almost 2 years.
Thought that a new challenge was where I had to push myself. Really, it's about growth.
That's Craig Counsell with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy overnight with lows around 43. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs around 60. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows level off around 40. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 49.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Okay. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this sunny, sunny day. At least here in Waukesha. Calvin is with us on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And you at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Thank you, Greg Bach. If you ever want to call and or text or check in, you can also watch us on the live stream on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can leave a comment there as well. We will see that as it crosses the line. We have a really, really busy show coming up today. Joining us at 10:33, the one and only Joe Zepecki will be here. We're going to start by kicking around the Supreme Court announcement yesterday that they've come out with a code of ethics. Okay. I find that kind of supremely hilarious. And
I see what you did there.
See? And we will talk with Joe about that. Johnny Watermullen, our very own Johnny Watermullen, is going to join us at 11:33. He is heading up to deer camp later this week, and he is going to share some deer camp stories. I would like you to start thinking about yours and have you share them as long as we can air them. They have to be, you know, they can't be obscene or include dirty words.
Yeah.
All right.
PG-13 stories.
Yeah, PG-13 stories.
Actually, you know what? I'll say PG because you can do a lot of PG-13 movies nowadays.
Yes, you can. Yeah. PG stories about what happens at deer camp. We will take your calls coming up at 11:33. First off, though, I wanted to start with this. Yesterday, we had Mark Sommerhauser here from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we were talking about housing needs in Wisconsin and the fact, and it's not just in Wisconsin, but really across the country, on how birth rates are down. We just aren't having as many children as we used to, and this has been happening over several decades. It's not like it's just, you know, in the last 5 years or anything. And there are a number of different reasons for that, but as I was on Twitter last night, I ended up going down this Twitter hole, and it inspired me to do a special More Words from Men segment on why the birth rate is declining in America. For example, this is what I saw on Twitter yesterday from a guy. These are the causes of plummeting birth rates in America, Greg Bach. Birth control. Abortion.
Of course.
Hookup culture.
Yes.
People wasting time in long-term relationships for years on end without making a commitment.
Or as I call them, losers. Yes.
Feminist brainwashing of young women.
Yes, the feminists.
Dudes with low T and decreased sperm counts.
Nothing makes me believe a story more than when someone uses the word dudes,
vaccines,
of course,
and the significant increase in things like the LGBTQ plus community, climate change, kids are bad for the environment, nonsense, etc. This went on. This thread went on and on and on and on. Until a woman finally commented.
What?
And said, it's almost like society needs to start asking women what they need in order to feel comfortable and are willing to increase the number of children they have. On top of that, to potentially stay home with them. But more words from men on the subject. Guy responds to her, no, we need to stop deferring to what women want.
Oh, God, this makes me hurt inside.
You give women control over the direction of society and civilization collapses. We are seeing this in real time. Women have a function. They are not performing that function to the degree, they need to be. So, how many children do you have?
Me?
To anyone who's listening or watching on the stream, how many kids do you have? Would you have wanted to have more if you could? Or if you only have two, why did you stop at two? I would like to know why you made the decisions about your family size the way you did. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY.
You got five.
I have five siblings.
There's all together. There's six of you all together?
There's six. My mother was pregnant eight times.
Okay. So six all together. Do you know how many children, how many siblings your mother had or father had? Did they come from big families on the other side?
My father came from a big family. I think they had six. My mother came from a small family. They only had two.
Okay. Because my dad's family, my great grandfather, he was like one of 13 or 15.
Okay.
Then my grandpa was one of 10. My father was one of 7. I am one of 2. I just feel like we're living in the day and age where you want to have the many kids, have the many kids. I don't think that's whatever. What I think is irrelevant. But I feel like when you come from that place of like, oh, I come from 7, 8 siblings, I don't want that many. It just seems like that's what more people are doing.
Well, I think there are so many other considerations to keep in mind, especially with the cost of things.
Oh, my good gravy, yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that is certainly going to be affecting people's decisions on whether or not to increase their family size.
Yeah, I think that it also, it's an increase in cost. It's also, having more children is an increase on your carbon footprint. You're using up more energy and there's more. Once again, you want to have a lot of kids, that's fine, but there are knock-on effects.
Absolutely. 844-967-2789. How many children do you have? Good morning, Laura, joining us from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Hello. How
big is your family, Laura?
I am a single mother of 4.
Did you plan on 4? Did you hope for 4?
Absolutely not. So the way that happened was I was married once upon a time and we were evangelical Christians. And so the go forth and prosper, multiply that business. We were very good at it while we were together for 7 years. But then I got divorced and ended up pregnant a fourth time. And when it comes down to it, I'm pro-life for my own body.
Yeah.
But I also have matured enough to know that that's just me. I don't need to tell the neighbor lady to do that also.
Yeah.
Right? It's your personal decision. It's your personal choice. It's your body.
Right.
When I started looking at this Twitter feed yesterday, Laura, it was remarkable to me how many men are the experts on why women aren't having enough babies. And it's interesting that you mentioned that you were an evangelical, because one of the comments posted on this thread, there is no excuse to not have unlimited children if you are a follower of Christ. You should not be using birth control. Every time you come together with your wife, which should be frequently unless you drink soy, pray for conception. I'm tired of seeing 3-kid Christian families after they've been married for 20 years.
Listen, okay, so we were only married for 5. So bam, 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 together for 7, married for 5. But also, that's what the culture was. Like, note, I am no longer evangelical Christian. I was when I was married. And so that's just what the culture is. Like, shoot, I attended several sermons just about voting pro-life and how it is your duty and responsibility as a Christian and as a member of this church community.
But Laura, what does that do to women in the community or couples in the community who have reproductive issues?
Exactly.
I mean, they must.
I had
they
so
must...
many friends that had reproductive issues, and they spent time with me and my family to try and like enjoy being around kids because they felt such a gap in their life, a hole in their life, because they didn't have kids, because it felt so much like the thing she was supposed to be doing.
And if you can't do it, that's like...
Well, then that's... Isn't that... Then God is not showing you favor?
I mean, that's just... Oh, my good girl.
Not only that, but they feel like failures. I have had too many conversations with... And this is when I was 25. Like, I was young. These women were young that I was talking to about this. Just tortured by it. Because they felt like they were being denied what they were intended to do.
That breaks my heart. It really that just breaks my heart, that through no fault of your own, you are, and then you're made to feel like you're a failure because you weren't able to do this. Laura, thank you so much for calling. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. How many kids do you have? John from the Falls checking in on the text line. Good morning, everybody. I have two boys I love very much. I wouldn't say I have too many, but I would say I have enough.
We also had a comment on the live stream from Joseph McClear.
Oh, he said, buddy Joe.
I wanted 12 kids so I could challenge my buddy Dan's family to a football game every year, 11 plus a kicker. We are currently at 2. We'll see how that winds up. Let me know what your wife thinks of that whole idea too there, Joe. All right.
Salient point.
Exactly. I prepared something for you for this whole thing. I got something for you.
I'm excited.
Can you play it, Calvin? Oh, I think we missed this.
More words.
Yep, there it is.
From men.
There you go.
844-967-2789. How many kids do you have? Again, this goes back to this Twitter feed that I followed yesterday, and I followed this down the rabbit hole. Man posts on Twitter, my grandmother had her first at 22, her second at 24, her third at 26, for example. Another man replies to that and says, well, her generation was probably the last one that consistently had children early, and they could afford to do so.
I just don't understand these, like... These seem like villains in a movie. Like, it's just like to have the temerity to be like, well, because of soy and the lesbians and Joe Biden. I just like this is almost once again, I'd be laughing if it weren't real, if this was a movie. But this is for real. And these men have the absolute audacity to say things that they're saying. And I just really it makes me so, so angry.
We're gonna keep this going. Stay with us. Karina, I see you on the line. Don't go away. 844-967-2789. How many children do you have? Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The Todd Alma Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local
Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party!
We're talking about more words from men. Yesterday we had Mark Sommerhauser on from the Wisconsin Policy Forum talking about housing in Wisconsin in particular and about birth rates. And birth rates just across the country have been in decline for several decades. I fell down this Twitter rabbit hole yesterday with a man explaining why we aren't having enough children. One guy, well, I can tell you the 6 feet, 6 figures, 6 inches mean meme isn't true. My wife stonewalled me at 2 kids. I have employees that have 5. I think women are just weak.
Yeah, that's the problem, bro.
Yep.
That's absolutely the problem. You know, it's
women are
stonewalling you with her bodily autonomy.
Karina from Milwaukee has been waiting on the line. Good morning, Karina.
Good morning. Oh, my. Well, you see, this is what it is. America has a 36th place on newborn death. That means that every child out of 1,000 is dead for no good reason. As a female, I would like to know that my child after 9 months is actually have a chance of a survival in the hospital. Besides the point that the times those men are talking about, those men were able to afford a life with one breadwinner and the female staying at home. Why would a female go for a child with a nation who would rather spend money for a proxy war on the other side of the world than for a daycare? Why would I do it and not even being able to afford the insurance for my child?
Thank you, Karina. Really appreciate the call. Absolutely. There are so many factors involved in why people elect to only have 1 or 2 or 3, you know, and
it's their business.
It is their business and it is their decision. One guy on this Twitter thread said, "You sound awfully judgmental about the private lives of others. Their marriage is between them and God. You don't know what goes on in their household. Could be fertility issues, trauma, etc. Just mind your own business." And the author of the post, oh, right, the old fertility excuse. A couple would go at it every single day in prayer and deeds so they can conceive. Health problems are a lack of diligence with no care about legacy. God is the one who shows favor with children. Less children means less favor from God.
I think that's somewhere in either Ephesians or Exodus where it says, yeah, go forth and get it on.
I think you're changing that slightly.
Well, he said, get it on. I feel like he was quoting the Bible. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's, oh, the old fertility dodge.
Yeah, right. Gary from Sussex is on the line. Good morning, Gary. How many kids do you have?
3 kids, and I'm very, very fortunate. My wife and I got married, and we tried to have kids, like, right away. We couldn't have kids. We went through adoption. And a gal showed up at our church and said that she's looking for someone to adopt her baby because she didn't want to have an abortion. So we get the job, Jeremy, which is now 44 years old.
Oh, wow.
And nice. then we ended up adopting our daughter, Jennifer, and she has 4 kids. And then my wife, out of total surprise, gets pregnant.
Aww.
And we have Josh, and then he has 5 kids. So we have a total of 10 grandkids.
Look at you.
Wow. Yeah.
We're very lucky, but I'll tell you something. Once I heard before when you were talking to some of these gals that couldn't conceive, we went through that. So you heard the versions of how the women feel, and I agree 100%. It's way harder on a woman. But as a dad wanting to have kids myself, I watched my wife cry every time she had her period. And we were hoping that, you know, she'd finally get pregnant.
Sure.
Yeah.
It hurt. It hurt.
Oh, I believe
the man.
It. And
but, you know, not as much as the women. I understand that.
Of course.
But it hurts the men.
Absolutely. And I just don't, I guess, Gary, I was just shocked by the judgment coming down from some of these guys on this Twitter thread about, well, you're a bad person and God doesn't love you. If you don't have more than, you know, a dozen children, you're just a bad person. You're a bad Christian, and I think that kind of judgment, being judgmental, seems to go against most of the versions of Christianity I am familiar with.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for calling, Gary.
Thank you for doing what you did, too.
Absolutely.
A lot of people won't even, like, we talked about this, I think we talked about this last week, where I said, and I believe this, if you are of certain means, of certain ability and access, it's your duty to entertain adoption as a way of having children, because there's so many children who need homes.
I heard a statistic yesterday. I want to say in Waukesha County alone, there are 1,300 kids in the foster care program.
I mean,
so anyway, we're going to wrap up this More Words from Men segment with this comment from a woman on this Twitter thread.
Is this a comment she put in amongst all of these?
Yes. All right. Using your own arguments, therefore, men who can't afford to raise an unlimited number of children onto single income are failing in their duties. Or is there no responsibility to feed, clothe, and educate them on how to make an honest living? Or is it just about the numbers? It's just as many as you can have, no matter what kind of situation they live in. What about impotence? Where does the Bible mention that? Oh, wait, it's probably her fault.
And then they were like, burn her. She's a witch.
I didn't see that. I'll go back to the thread and check today.
Please follow up, Jane.
I probably will. I wouldn't be surprised if that would be the comment. All right. Coming up at 10:33, we're going to be joined by the one and only Joe Zepecki is going to be here. The Supreme Court came out with a code of ethics yesterday, and we're going to take a little look at what that involves. And you know what, Greg?
It doesn't involve us. That's a spoiler.
No, it does not. And it also, as far as I could read within this document, it doesn't include any kind of enforcement arm. So they're laying out all of these rules that they're going to follow, but there is no oversight on them to make sure that they're going to follow the rules they made to govern themselves.
I'm sorry, listeners. I just want to apologize for Jane for a second. She's never heard of the honor system. So, I mean, it's the your honor system, really, when it comes down to
it. Nice.
Thank you.
Oh, Greg Bach. Well done. And then coming up at 11:33, start thinking about it now, if you would. Johnny Watermelon, one of our colleagues here at Civic Media, is heading up to Deer Camp later this week, and he is going to share some fun Deer Camp stories with us coming up at 11:33. If you have one that is arable and relatively clean, we would love to hear from you coming up at 11:33. You can always call and or text at 844-967-2789. All right, stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
President Biden will meet Wednesday with Chinese leader Xi Jinping at an estate outside of San Francisco. He has said a priority is going to be reestablishing lines of military communication with China. He also said that trade will be a topic.
If the average citizen in China was able to have a decent paying job, that benefits them and it benefits all of us. But I'm not going to continue to sustain support for positions where if we want to invest in China, we have to turn over all our trade secrets.
The U.S. government says it has intelligence supporting Israel's claim that Hamas is running military operations out of hospitals in Gaza. Israeli forces raided the largest hospital in Gaza, where hundreds of patients, including newborns, have been stranded. The House passed a short-term funding bill to avert a government shutdown, and lawmakers in Texas passed a bill that would allow police to arrest migrants who enter the country illegally. Opponents are promising legal challenges. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A number of Republican voting rules are one step closer to becoming constitutional amendments. One of the proposed amendments, passed by the state Senate Tuesday, would require voters to show a photo ID issued by the state of Wisconsin. Another would require voters in Wisconsin to be U.S. citizens. A third would ban local governments and elections officials from using private donations to pay for their work. Wisconsin schools are doing better, according to the latest accountability report cards from the State Department of Public Instruction. 378 public school districts were evaluated, and 94% of them met, exceeded, or significantly exceeded expectations. DPI says achievement improved from last year to this year, though for many schools and districts, this year's performance is lower than before the pandemic. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Jim Vandenhoevel, our very special guest, Vietnam vet. Again, you had to be saying to yourself, I am not on the farm in freedom anymore.
You know, it was scary for a while, but then you realize, and we all realize in our platoon, we kind of laugh about it because you had to keep your sanity, and that was one of the ways you did it. You almost got taken out today, and if you didn't do that, you wouldn't be able to stay focused on your job.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly cloudy overnight with lows around 43. Southwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Highs around 60. Partly cloudy tomorrow night. Lows level off around 40. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 49.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
We
got sick and tired of being promised this and that. We work all day, we sweat and we slave to keep the world.
Good morning. Back. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Mettenair in for Kristen Bright. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And joining us on the stream, good morning, our friend Joe Zopecki. How you doing, sir?
Hey, sports fans. Good to see your beautiful faces.
Good to see you,
well,
too.
Joe's beautiful face.
It's been a
Greg's
while.
Greg's is kind of hard to find.
You know what?
Behind that beard.
How many kids do you have, Joe?
Two.
You have two. That's how we started off the show. We were talking about the decreased birth rate in America, which has been going on for several decades. And then I stumbled on this thread yesterday on Twitter where men have all the answers on as to why women aren't having enough children. And one guy basically said that American women are weak.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch that, but I did see some speculation that we have found the cure to this problem.
And the cure is?
If Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce make a baby, that will provide the jolt to the birth rate that America needs.
You think all the Swifties then will decide it's time for them to marry and have children?
Those aren't my words. That was someone on the internet who is very excited about the relationship of our time. Those star-crossed lovers, those crazy kids.
Those crazy kids.
It's amazing how many she's dated over the past almost 20 years in music. She has dated a lot of different celebrity guys, but this is the one that's really sticking. That's the wrong choice words. Not sticking. This is the one we care about the most, apparently. Like, no one cared about Jake Gyllenhaal. No one cared about John Mayer. No one cared about, like, they didn't care until after they broke up and she wrote songs about them. But man, we want this to work as a country.
Well, and I think there's two reasons for that. And I know this is exactly why you wanted me on, was to offer my takes on popular culture and Taylor Swift.
Always.
But this, you know, this isn't that much of a surprise if you think back to her early stuff where she's writing songs about, you know, she's cheer captain and I'm in the bleachers.
Yeah.
And there's always sort of been that sort of want, that feeling like she wasn't quite the cool kid, even though she's like the coolest kid literally in the world right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my better half may have shared with me, apparently at a show this week, Taylor is playing with the lyrics to that song.
Yes.
And saying like, he's a Chiefs player. And so like, and then his face lights up and it's just, you know, you know what? There is so much to feel down and depressed and anxious and worry about. The fact that any of us can hold on to these young lovers and, you know, hoping that these crazy kids make it and rooting for them.
Yeah.
God love it.
If you want some shots of pure joy, get on Swift Talk or Instagram Reels where Swift is happening, because it's just like, it's joy. It's fun. It's just, that's what's good stuff.
Is your daughter all into Taylor? Is she a Swiftie?
Both my daughter and wife went to the Swift show in Chicago.
Nice.
I would say that my wife is more of a fan than daughter, but
pretty close.
But who's counting?
Right. Pretty close.
I'm sure your wife would be if you challenged it.
Yeah. Well, I suggested we go see the movie on Sunday. It was the last day it was playing.
Yeah.
And she was the one who was like, I don't know, I'm pretty tired, because she went to see Kesha with our daughter the night before.
Well, I mean, she also saw,
because they're the cool ones in this house.
She also saw it live. Like, if I went to go see like my favorite, like, hey, let's go see a reunited Pink Floyd in concert. Like, yeah, heck yeah. I'm like, you want to go see in the theater now? Like, no, I saw it already.
Yeah. Been there, done that. I guess I could have gone by myself. And so, but to bring it all back, yes, the declining birth rate is both a national security issue and an economic security issue. I was doing some research about one of the things we're going to talk about, which is Donald Trump recruiting for a potential second term. One of the things that they are vetting for are people who want to decrease not only illegal immigration to this country, but legal immigration to this country. Hey, people, you want to save Social Security and Medicare? We need more Americans, whether that's through the legal immigration process, whether that's through upping that birth rate. This is a real thing.
It is a real thing.
Take it away.
Before we get to, we're gonna talk about Project 2025 in a little bit. I wanted to start off though with the supremely hilarious code of ethics that our Supreme Court released yesterday.
So why do you say supremely hilarious?
Because there is no enforcement arm. There is no oversight body to make sure they behave themselves. It's just, we wrote a bunch of rules to govern ourselves, and this is what we've always followed. We didn't, I don't know, you've been bugging us, and now we felt like we had to write them down, and so we did. But, you know, just trust us, because we're fine. We're good. We're all good.
So I guess my question, my reaction would be, is something better than nothing?
But it's still, it's a nothing burger if nothing can be enforced.
But here's what we've shown. We have shown that great reporting and transparency into what these justices are doing can change behaviors. And the outcry over it can change behaviors. Hold on.
Okay.
In that for 248 years is how long the Supreme Court has existed. There has not even been this. And now for the first time, even with their weird, annoying, obnoxious, gaslighting, you know, introductory page, we've always lived by this.
Yes.
Like that I'm here to dunk on, okay? But the fact that they have done this and put it to paper is progress. It doesn't mean that all of the problems are solved, but it is a step forward in terms of the court's operations, and it is now another thing with which to demand and hold people accountable. It's still going to take great reporting from outlets like ProPublica and others. It's still going to take probably the threat of the U.S. Senate and folks like Dick Durbin saying, you got to get your own house in order or we're going to do it for you. But I worry that when we jump to say it's not good enough, it's not great enough, it's not perfect, since when has making perfect the enemy of the good been the right approach? This is something. Something is better than nothing. And, you know, it doesn't mean the fight is over, but it's progress.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Now they're here to dunk on me.
No, you say it doesn't solve all the problems. This doesn't solve any of the problems because nothing's been solved yet.
It's a public relations stunt.
Exactly. And to me,
negotiation.
When someone is held accountable, then I'll be like, all right, here we go. But for right now, it's a press release. That's all it is to me. Are they going to use these? Are they going to use these things that they are putting forward in their reform to hold justice accountable in what's happening right now? Great. Then cool. I'm on board. I'm here for it. I want it to happen. But to me, it just seems like a PR stunt because all nine of them got together and said, we're fine.
We're good. We've always been good. It's all good. Taking $275,000 from a donor, it's good. And all I think this is going to do, Joe, is make them, some of them, even craftier about getting away with it. I think now they're going to have to be like, oh gosh, now they're actually kind of watching us. So we have to really do this on the down low if you're going to buy me off.
Man, you guys have been beaten down. Let me tell you. I write myself a note. It's right here. I look at it every day. You can't see it. But what it says is every day choose joy, hope, and optimism. At some point, we have to say, like, at least we're moving in the right direction as opposed to falling further and further behind. If your expectation was that what accountability in the next chapter in this story was going to look like was that Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas we're going to be shamed off of the Supreme Court
No. And
just go, oh my gosh, you caught me with my hand in the cookie jar and we will resign and there will be two vacancies and the U.S. Senate will put in place some ironclad, you know, thou shalt not series of policies. And that was going to be the next chapter of this. I think you may have been expecting too much.
A girl's got a dream, Joe.
And this girl had absolutely no intention of thinking that would happen at all. Like I said, I want something to happen with them, whether it's even just like put a note in their permanent record. I don't know, but like I wasn't expecting them to step down from the bench, but I do expect there to be some sort of equality in its oversight that the Senate and the House are maybe held to. I don't see why there can't be oversight from other branches, and I'm not cynical about it either. I'm skeptical. I also like to choose joy and happiness and all those things. But when nine people say we're doing okay in the face of what looks like grand corruption, and all they do is say, all right, here's the first step. Okay, here's the first step. Show me the next step then. That's what I want to see in this country.
Amen to that, brother. And let's take the example, right? So all bodies, organizations have mechanisms of self-policing, right? That they're supposed to keep their own house in order.
Sure.
For example, Congress has ethics committees that are supposed to investigate their own members and police their own body. And when someone very special, like Congressman George Santos, comes along, the ethics committee launches a probe and they do an investigation, and they have an ability to police their own membership as a body. And George Santos is still in Congress.
Yes, he is.
So there are also outside actors that play an accountability role. The Justice Department, he's under indictment. That has, you know, that will play itself out in due time. So there needs to be both internal and external accountability when it comes to the Supreme Court, as there needs to be internal and external accountability in all organizations. I'm just choosing today to say that the fact that there is now at least a document, at least some process in place for internal accountability, may actually make it easier for there to be that external accountability for members of Congress or the Judiciary Committee to say things like, this is what you wrote down and put your name to, and now you are not living up to it. What am I supposed to go home and tell my constituents, so it can actually foster down the road some additional accountability? And it's a long road to get there, but at least we're now like on a path.
Yeah. And I think I'm in agreement with you, because you're seeing the next steps. You are creating the next steps. I want to see them in real life, and then I'll get there to that point. Yeah. But for right now, yeah.
I suppose it was a little much to hope for that Clarence Thomas would drive his motor home in front of the Supreme Court and just leave the keys and then $275,000 in cash, and you know, giving it back.
Wow,
to Harlan Crow.
You are really good at being, you know.
I have dreams.
Yeah, I know. What I'm saying is, what you're doing right now is exactly what Joe told you to do. He told you to have hope.
See, Joe. Okay, you won me over. Today I choose optimism. Yes,
we did it.
In this moment, it probably won't last all day. It'll probably just be.
It won't last till the end of the segment. What are you talking about, Jan?
Yeah, well, she knows what the next segment is, too.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, and did you hear the latest from the Whoop 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 Boing conference? What happened in the House today? Oh, there was.
Oh, the shoving match?
The shoving match. And the little chasing back and forth between Kevin McCarthy and. Who am I?
Some guy we've never heard of.
Yeah, some other House Republican.
It's like greasers and the socias all over again.
Greg's going to be able to help me here, I think. Yeah. There's some movie that is like, there's echoes in my brain of like,
The Outsiders.
You know what tough guys do? Oh. You know what tough guys do, right? Tough guys, and then it's insert, oh, you push people in the back when they're not expecting it. What is that?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a tough guy? You want to be a tough guy? You know what tough guys do? Not what Kevin McCarthy did.
He's a big dude. If he hit you, I'd fall over. Oh, He's a tall.
The reporter said that he shoved this other congressman right into her, and then he turned around and started chasing after McCarthy. So,
oh, I hope that's on video.
Boing.
I hope that's on video.
Do the listeners
somewhere.
And viewers not know how big Greg is? Greg, you are a bigger man than Kevin McCarthy is.
He's taller than me.
Stand your ground.
I think he's taller than me. I have a better center of gravity because I'm just chunkier, but he is like distributed well.
Joseph Pecky will be with us when we get back. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Shut up, shut up, shut up. Sit up, sit up, sit up. It's a kangaroo.
To As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Calvin on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. Joining us on the stream, the one and only Joe Zepecki. Joe, let's talk about Project 2025. It's really pretty terrifying, isn't it?
It's pretty bonkers.
Yeah.
Have you discussed this at all with the...
We have not.
Because this has been in the works for a little bit here. So Project 2025 is a plan by not just former President Trump, but the Trump MAGA wing of the Republican Party, which is to say a lot of it, almost all of it, including longstanding organizations like the Heritage Foundation and others who are cooking up the next step of a plan that in the waning months of the first Trump administration, he tried to enact. And that was the largest change to the hiring practices of the federal government in, God, generations. I mean, you know, 70 years since this big a thing had happened. And this gets a little in the weeds. So I want to try to figure out how best to, like, explain to people what this is. And, well, and I'll use my own experience as an entry point for this. So
perfect.
I was a political appointee in Barack Obama's first term. So what that means is when Barack Obama was elected or when Joe Biden was or Donald Trump, they get to hire out staff, not just in the West Wing of the White House, but across the federal government. And there have historically been about 4,000 jobs. There are 2 million federal employees, right? So you get to bring about 4,000 folks with you from the campaign, from, you know, the private sector who share your values, etc.
Sure.
And so, like, the agency that I worked at, which was the Small Business Administration, which has employees on the ground in every single state across the country and territory, at that agency of several thousand people, there were like 15 to 20 of us tops, maybe
that were that were Obama appointees.
That were Obama appointees. And so, you know, our job was to run the agencies and try to implement the president's agenda. And sometimes that ran into career civil servants and federal officials who would say, actually, you can't do that. And here's why, right? Like, it's the federal government. Everything goes through a legal review. You know, you are a federal employee. You are not allowed to politic on government time. That would be taking money from taxpayers, right? So, like,
they set up the guardrails, right, Joe?
Exactly. And listen, it can be frustrating. I totally get that, but it's a really important part of protecting, you know, the civil service and the bureaucracy and the government of the United States. So what Trump in, I think, October, like just before he lost the election, he tried to create a new class of public servant, Schedule F, that what that would have done was made it easier for political appointees and the president to fire civil servants who would essentially have removed their protections that they have through their unions and through established protocols and procedures over time. So, for example, if I, as an employee at SBA, said, we want to do a loan program that gives out, loans to businesses that display an Obama sticker in their window on the door, like a Better Business Bureau thing, but instead it's the Obama hope signal.
Sure.
And in it, and if an attorney said, no, you can't do that, and here's why, that I could just go, or someone could just go, well, I don't like that answer. I think you're wrong, attorney, so you're fired. And I'm going to replace you with someone who shares my belief in, you know, and my politics. And that's messed up.
Well, it's essentially making sure that you can do whatever it is you want to do, whether it's legal or not.
Correct. And so 4,000 is what it has been in terms of political appointees. The estimates are that this Schedule F would apply to 50,000. So more than 10 times as many officials throughout the government. That is problematic for a number of reasons. Among them, and I was looking at, this has been great reporting by Jonathan Swan from Axios, is that, you know, these folks are saying that they're being, this is Swan's reporting, prescriptive about what gets a person on the list.
Yep.
They want applicants who want to cut not just illegal, but also legal immigration into the United States. They favor people who are protectionist on trade and anti-interventionist on foreign policy. They must be eager to fight the culture war. Credentials are almost irrelevant.
So you don't have to be qualified to be an appointee. You just have to agree with their ideology and you're good.
Apparently. And so what they're doing is coming up with lists of people who meet these particulars, you know, thousands and thousands of names who are ready to go day one. And they are being quite candid that they don't expect that they'll have 50,000 names ready to go should President Trump be reelected or, you know, get elected a second time next November. What they're saying is that the mere threat of being able to fire these officials and replace them will kowtow them into doing what they want. So in the hypothetical I dreamed up, as opposed to saying, you can't tell me I can't do that, I'm going to fire you, because that staff counsel goes, oh my God, if I don't give him the answer he wants, I'm going to lose my job and my livelihood, that will pressure them to say yes more readily.
This is really dangerous and very, very frightening. I can't think of anything worse than the president of the United States being surrounded by nothing but yes people. You need you need someone to can talk truth to you. If it's just wrap your heads around this, folks, this is really bad.
He no longer has those people. And so this is also from this reporting from Jonathan Swan. Trump has reduced his circle of advisors and expunged nearly every former aide who refused to embrace his view that the 2020 election was stolen. He spends significant amounts of his time talking to luminaries of the Stop the Steal movement. Daughter Ivanka, son-in-law Jared are no longer involved. One former senior advisor notes that January 6th was the crucible and that the treatment Trump meted out, especially to his own vice president, changed the landscape. Even if you're a true believer, you see what happens to people.
Joe,
this is messed up.
Yeah, this is messed up. And we're going to have you back so we can do a longer segment about this and really explain just how dangerous this is to our democracy. But anyway, thanks for carving out some time. Joe Zepecki, really appreciate it. Say hi to your lovely wife from me and stay with us. Coming up at 11:06, there is a new scam the Better Business Bureau wants you to know about. And we're going to talk about things I've fallen for scams.
One. I probably fell in for more.
So we'll take your calls as well. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Show weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 a.m. and 101.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long.
1590 a.m. and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
The
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light. At 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC tell us 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.